All right, the scripture reading for this morning will come from Psalm 91, the first 12 verses. Psalm 91, 1 through 12. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
Thank you, Steve, for that reading. Just so you know, for future reference, the only place in this building that is air-conditioned is right here. Which means the closer you sit up front, the cooler it's going to be. Just so you know. As we study the Bible, there are some subjects or topics that we come across that are both fascinating but also challenging to understand. What is it that God wants us to know about this particular subject? So this morning, because I have been asked, I wanted us to talk about another one of God's creations, that of angels. And this morning we're not going to be talking about fallen angels, that we'll deal with that at another time. But I think one of the confusing aspects when it comes to thinking about angels is all the misunderstandings and misconceptions that are out there about angels. And we have our friends in Hollywood to blame a lot for this. We have TV shows like Touched by an Angel, and we had Angels in the Outfield, which was a movie that came out, and Highway to Heaven. All those things portray angels in a certain way that Hollywood would like us to perhaps believe is true. But when we look into God's Word, we find that some of those portrayals are not true. They're more a figment of Hollywood's imagination. We've seen pictures of angels as children, angels as women, but we never find that in the Bible. What we find is that whenever an angel is manifested as a human being, it's always as a man. Does that have any significance to gender equality? No. It's just a biblical truth, something we need to think about. But as we look at God's Word intently, we see that there are a lot of verses that kind of guide our thinking in understanding the very character, the very being of an angel. We see, for example, that angels have intelligence. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. We see in Luke chapter 2, when Christ is born, we see that angels shout joyously to the Lord. They show emotion. We see in Jude chapter 6 that angels exercise their will, but their will is always in compliance, always under the guidance, under the command of God's will. They don't have a will separate from God, but they do have a will. We see that angels have limited knowledge. No one knows when the Son of Man is going to return. Not the Son, not the angels, only the Father. So the angels have some knowledge, but again, it's limited. And we see also that angels were created in an order a little higher than humans. And we're told that in Psalms chapter 8, which we read in Wednesday night class this past week, and in Hebrews chapter 2 as well. So the question that many have is, are there really angels out there? Are there really angels out working God's will for God's people? Were angels simply created to give us something to think about? Or were they created for a specific purpose? Does God have a purpose for everything that He created? And if so, what is that purpose for angels? Well, the first thing when we think about angels is that we need to understand that they are real. They are real. And why do we think they're real? Because God's word tells us they're real. We see in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Encamps around. The angel of the Lord encamps around God's people, and He delivers them. So three things I want us to think about as we're looking at the subject of God's created angels this morning. And the first thing is simply this. How many are there? You see, we always want to know those kinds of things. It's not enough to know that God created angels. We want to know how many there are. Are there going to be enough that they encamp around me too? Or are they just going to encamp around you because God ran out of angels and He doesn't have enough to do? We don't know. They're innumerable. No one can say exactly how many angels there are. Turn with me to the book of Revelations. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. And I want us to read together verses 11 through 12. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. How many? Well, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." What God is trying to teach us is simply this. Angels are innumerable. We can't count how many angels there are. But we can be assured of this one thing. There are enough angels out there. There are more than enough angels out there to do what God sends them out to do. He created them to do a work, and He created enough of them, more than enough of them, to do what needs to be done. Remember this, angels don't exist through reproduction, but through creation. Angels were created, they don't reproduce. There are no little baby angels running around somewhere. They're created. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30 tells us, at the resurrection, people were neither married nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. Direct creation is what produced angels by God for a specific purpose to be used in His creation. And when we think about angels, we see them actively involved in some of the lives of those we read about in the New Testament. In Peter, we see in Matthew chapter 26, when Peter was involved, when he was in prison. And we see that the angel was involved in his rescue there as well. We see in Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 6, which we talked about last week. Let's read this together. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's amazing when you stop and think about the things that could be going on out in the spiritual realm around us right now that we can't see. And when we see the words fire, when we see the protection that God had given Elisha, we see very clearly that nothing is going to harm God's people. He'll protect them by that which he's created. By the way, Peter in Matthew chapter 26, I got ahead of myself there for just a minute. That's when, in fact, let me read that passage because it makes a point. Matthew chapter 26, beginning verse 52. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" We sing the song, "He could have called 10,000 angels." And I know some people say, "We can't sing that song anymore because it's not scripturally correct." But the fact of the matter is, he could have called 10,000 angels. The Bible said he could have called a lot more than that. There's 6,000 to a legion. He could have called, according to this passage in Matthew, he could have called 72,000 angels if needed be. The point is, the angels are always at God's disposal to do God's work that he created them specifically to do. We see that in Elijah as well. And what about the life of Jesus? What did the angels do for him? Do you remember Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11? After he was tempted, the angels came to attend to him. See, angels are always involved in God's work, and there's so much more that we need to learn about that. But we know this, they can't be counted. They're innumerable. There are many more than we can possibly imagine at God's disposal. But not only are they innumerable, we see they're also mighty in strength. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels." Blazing fire reminds us of that passage that we just read in Elisha, about Elisha in 2 Kings. And the word fire is often used in biblical terms for judgment. And we see that angels are involved in that as well. They're mightier than men. We were created a little lower than the angels. When God created angels, he created them for a specific purpose, just like he's created us for a specific purpose as well. Psalms 103 and verse 20, "Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his words." Angels have the responsibility of carrying out what God has directed them to do. We have the responsibility of carrying out exactly what God has ordered us to do as well. And we can see the similarities there. We are all under the direction of Almighty God. Are there angels among us? Yes, there are. Too innumerable for us to imagine. But think about the power of just one single angel. One angel rolled back a stone. You see in Matthew chapter 28 when the lady Mary's went to the tomb and that the stone was rolled away from the tomb of Jesus. Who did that? It was an angel. One angel can roll back a stone. One angel opened the prison doors twice in the book of Acts. When Peter was in prison and about to die the next day and everyone was praying, it was an angel that rescued him from prison again twice in the book of Acts. We see in Revelation chapter 20 that one angel will bind Satan. Well, when is that going to take place? When is that going to happen? We want to know these things. What's going to happen? Whenever God decides it's going to happen. But he tells us when it does, one angel will bind Satan. One angel destroyed a Syrian army of 185,000 people, we read in Isaiah chapter 37. One angel. So we see that they're mighty in strength. They are much mightier than men. We think about all the armies of the angels that God has created to do anything that he asks them to do, because they're innumerable. They're mighty in strength. But there's one other point that we need to think about when we're thinking about angels and our relationship with them. And we see that they are ministers. God sends his angels to help Christians in many aspects of our lives. Look with me over to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning of verse 13. To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? God sends them out to help us for the purpose of our salvation. And what does all that involve? I don't know. But God tells us they do. And because God tells us that, we need to believe it. Because that's what his word teaches. And we also see that angels praise God. We see that in Psalms quite a bit, in Psalms 148, beginning in verse 1. We see they worship God. We see that in Revelations chapter 5. They serve God, again, Psalms 103. They're instruments of God's judgment. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. When God is bringing judgment on a nation or a person, many times it takes place at the hands of an angel. And they encourage in times of danger, and we see that in the book of Acts as well. God has many ways of strengthening and helping us, and the angels are one of those created ways. We see also that they rejoice when one is saved. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When they see one sinner repenting and turning their life over to Jesus Christ, they rejoice in heaven before God. They're involved in the life of God's people. They also looked after the welfare of faithful believers. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits, again, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Inherit salvation, that's one of the responsibilities that angels have to help us as we stretch and as we work our way through this thing called life, as we look forward to the life hereafter. There's one more thing. They escort Christians to paradise at death. I don't think we really think about that. Let's read together Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. When we study the language of this passage, we see it's not a parable, but it's a biblical truth. Abraham's side represents paradise. That's where Lazarus, faithful Lazarus, went. But the rich man didn't. He went somewhere else. I have been with loved ones when they passed. And there's something peaceful that happens when a child of God leaves this earth. You see, God never intended his children to just leave. But as we look at this passage, his angels escort them from this life. What a magnificent thought that is. The best day that we will ever have on this earth is the day angels escort us from this earth to that land that God has prepared for us. We don't leave it on our own, but angels escort us, those who are prepared and protected are carried away by God's angels to a place that God wants them to be. And what a comforting thought that is to us as we look back on loved ones that have gone before us. And what a comforting thought it is as we prepare our own lives for that moment that we go through the same thing. We are never alone. We're never alone here on earth. We're never alone at that moment of death. And we're never alone in the hereafter. God is always with us. I heard a preacher once say, "We are not separated from God by death, but we are brought to God by death." And it's the angels that bring us to God. What a marvelous, marvelous, wonderful thought that is. Angels are an entirely different order than we are. They're innumerable. They're mighty in strength. They're ministers. They will never become human. They never have been human. They were not created in the image of God. We were. But they were created by God to help us in our walk with Him as we go through this thing called life here on earth. God has told us so much about the angels and what they've done and continue to do. And every step that we take out in the spiritual realm, things are taking place. It's difficult for us to understand because we can't physically see it. But if we have faith and we have trust in God's word, then we need to believe that it's happening. We can't think of angels simply as being things that fly around. They're much more important than that. God has created angels to play a very significant role in the child of God. And we need to be thankful for those as well. They're created beings. They're innumerable. Their strength is unlimited. and they are ministers to God's people. We've just touched briefly on the role of angels. I would strongly encourage you to do a study of your own so that we can truly appreciate all that God has given us. He's given us each other, but He's given us so much more. And when you think about angels, it gives me some comfort as well to know that they're out there not only helping me, but they're helping you. They're helping answer our prayers. They're helping Gina as she goes through cancer. They're helping Allie as she's away at school. And as a parent, we can be so thankful for that. Knowing that God's in control of everything in ways that we don't even understand. We just have to have faith that He is in control and that His will be done. And angels are one of the things that He's created to help that will be done. And for that, we should be eternally thankful. If you're here this morning, we can help you in your life. This is invitation time. Jimmy's going to lead us in a song here. Angels rejoice when one sinner repents. But if there's something in your life that you know you need to change, you don't have to come up here to do it. You can do it right where you're sitting and where you're standing. Just asking God to help you with that thing in your life that needs to be changed. But if you want us to pray and help you with that, we want to do that as well. Or if you've yet to become a child of God, you need to be baptized into Christ, and we do that here. And the angels rejoice when that happens as well. If we can help you in any way with your life, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.